A year after Democrats called for defunding the police, Joe Biden is calling for more police. The Supreme Court deals a blow to unions in California. Woke militants have walked into a parental buzzsaw, and a bipartisan deal has been reached on infrastructure. What's that all about?
It's all about Alabama, Hollywood, rock and roll, eating good, sports in the deep south, news from the White House, indiscretions, big stupid questions, and all things extracurricular, AM, FM, and online, on top 99.5, it's a show about every damn thing, and nothing in particular.
You're listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk. 99.5.
The building collapse, apartment complex in Florida. Horrible situation just north of Miami Beach in a place called Surfside, Florida. 50 missing, one dead that we know of. Is it one or two now, David? I think we're up to two.
Still seeing officially one.
Okay.
There have been different reports saying two, okay, and 51 missing.
This is that cloud,
yeah,
that we are, you know, we're going to be in for a little minute until we start to sort things out. Unfortunately, our appetite for information is always larger than the information available in the wee hours after an event like this takes place. It is horrific, and maybe one of the most horrific things about it is that you look at it and think, well, how am I to know that my building is not going to collapse? Well, it's been here for 50 years. Yeah, that building was there for 40 years. And then suddenly it just gave way. What the hell? I guarantee you they're going to find some sort of stress. Possibly somebody, you know, cut some corners when it came to building the place 40 years ago. That's my guess on this, because in the United States of America, with our building codes, buildings don't just fall down unless they get hit by planes. So it's not common. It's not a common thing. And what has happened there is a horrible, horrible tragedy. They are also afraid that the rest of the building might come down. So they have to be real careful about getting people out of there, those that are still in there. And no one is allowed to go in and grab your belongings, no matter how precious to you they may be. At this particular moment, we can't be assured that it's going to stay where it is. As far as we know, no impetus, no triggering action here, no bomb, no explosion of any kind, no gas, explosion, nothing of that nature seems to have taken place. It just, the building just fell apart. And while you think, well, this has never happened in the history of humankind before, I can tell you that this sort of thing actually has happened quite a bit in places like China, where their building codes are very, very lax. They're much lower, and they don't concern themselves with such things. I told you about years ago, I was still living in Orlando at the time, but still I was working here. Went down there, and I spent New Year's Eve with a guy who worked for the Chevron Corporation as part of their construction, international construction committee, whatever you would call it, international construction division, okay? And he was down there because Alabama was playing in the Capital One Bowl. They were playing Mississippi State and totally waxed them. It wasn't
Michigan
even
State.
Michigan State, excuse me. Yeah. They killed Michigan State that year, 52-0 or something. It was insane. Anyway, I was hanging out with him the night before. He had just flown back from China specifically for that game. It was actually from, like, North Carolina. And I said, so instead of flying home to spend time with your family for this brief period, you came here. That speaks volumes about you, my friend. Anyway, he told me that when they would sit down to look at plans, you know, as here he is, the American representative of the Chevron Corporation and their construction division international, and they're in China, and they're going to build this building. And the Chinese would lay out these plans, and they would say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and by the way, we've built into this that three people are going to die during the construction of this building, and we think that that's the acceptable number. And he was like, what? No people dying is the acceptable number. Zero, we're looking for zero people dying. That's the acceptable number, okay? And like, you're not going to get excited or worried until a fourth person dies? That's when you're going to get bent out of shape? He said, you begin to realize what a completely different way of doing business it is. But yeah, buildings collapse in China, and you don't hear about it because, of course, the Chinese government keeps a tight rein on the media. It's happened in other places, too. Some of the stands Kazakhstan, right? Any of those places that used to be part of the Soviet Union. Soviet Union not known for their brilliant architecture and brilliant construction. So it's happened there a few times. They don't use a lot of rebar in those areas, some places in Eastern Europe. But our building codes are so strict that the only way they could have gotten away with this is to, you know, fudge the details a little bit and play around the edges. It's unlikely that a building that is 40 years old, good Lord, we have buildings downtown in this city that are, what, 100 in Birmingham? Got to be
close.
This
building's 40 years old.
This building right here is 40. This is at least 40 years old. And I've worked in it for the past 25. Yeah, I just, yeah, I'll tell you, it's a little bit spooky, but I let not your heart be troubled. I think you're going to be okay. I don't think your building is going to fall down. I think we're going to find that this is a real anomaly and we'll figure out what happened, but not immediately, okay? It's not going to happen in the next 10 or 15 minutes. What is going to happen is I've got Michael Weber. Weber Mortgage is going to call in. He has been on a very interesting trip. Well, a couple of trips. It's the first one that I'm most interested in.
Did the mescaline kick in and they were in bat country?
Not that kind of trip. As far as I know, not that kind of trip. Who let all these bats in here? As far as I know, no, he just he traveled out west. Got to see some interesting stuff, and I'm interested in hearing about that trip. And then, you know, because he had to unwind after that vacation, went to Jamaica for a few days. So we're going to chat with him about that. I love this headline. A judge has ruled that even her audience understands that Rachel Maddow is full of it. We'll get to that story a little later as well. And a deal has been reached between Republicans and Democrats on infrastructure. This is one of those situations, I have to say, the left making a concerted effort to try to get both sides to come to the table on this, even though they could easily pass an infrastructure bill during reconciliation. They could say it's part of the budgeting process and they don't need the 60 votes and so on and so forth, but that would always sort of hang over their heads. Much in the same way, if Obamacare had been passed like that, it would always hang over their... Obamacare was already a nightmare and they had to pass it, I think, by a consent decree in the House when it came back around again, but... Biden really wanted, I say Biden, the Biden administration really wanted this to be done with the 60 vote rules in the Senate, and they wanted enough Republicans on board to make it work because it's going to be kind of a centerpiece, long standing achievement of the Biden administration. That is their goal anyway, to say, do you see this fabulous new stretch of interstate? The Biden administration made this possible. Now, we'll be saying that in 2050 because that's how long it will take to build. But it'll get said. And that's what they're looking for, is some sort of legacy that they can hang their hat on, because quite frankly, they ain't going to get much else. They're not going to get critical race theory put into schools. I've got stories about that. They're not going to be known for law and order. That's not going to be happening. I don't think they're going to get socialized medicine. In fact, I think even they are beginning to realize that they are so screwed in 2022 that the American people are very unhappy with the direction that this country is going, and with changes in the laws when it comes to voting in places like Georgia and Michigan and Wisconsin. And you're not hearing about these except maybe here and on Leland Live and on Matt and Val. You know, you're not hearing about these things in the lamestream media, the leftstream media. They're not talking about these changes that have been taking place in how one votes, except for the one in Georgia, because it, you know, got the Major League Baseball All-Star game thrown out. But it is happening. And when you have the rules that are being put in place in some of these places, you're going to see a sea change. Arizona has passed some new legislation as well while that audit has been going on. You're going to see a sea change in the elections and who ends up getting sent to the House and who ends up getting sent to the Senate. And I think the left is fully and completely aware that there's very little chance that they're going to hold on to either of those two houses, much less both of them. What else can I tell you before we take our first break? Let's see. Rudy Giuliani's license to practice law has been suspended. It was a New York court that made this ruling, and they did so based on his supposed false statements regarding the 2020 election. Now, this is sort of unprecedented. I, for the life of me, have never heard of an attorney losing his license to practice law because he made some statements outside of a courtroom, by the way. This wasn't about him being in court and saying this and this and this and this happened and him misrepresenting the facts of a case. This was about public statements that he made outside of a courtroom and really outside of his capacity as an attorney, because he wasn't even Trump's attorney when he was making these statements, interestingly enough. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Apparently, this was an order that was handed down by a New York court that they say, of course, he is able to appeal this. And what they mean by that is, we sort of just decided this without any input from him or anybody else. There was no defense in this case. And so when he actually rises up and says, you can't do that, then we're actually going to have a court case, and they're probably going to end up being reversed. I just don't think you get to do that on a whim, but it makes for a nice headline right now, as the New York court has suspended Rudy Giuliani's law license. Oh, yeah. One last thing came down last night, and I'll share this with you a little bit later as well, but the Gavin Newsom recall is some kind of on. They needed just shy of 1.5 million signatures to make the recall work in California. Newsom, of course, the governor of California, people were fed up with the way he handled COVID, fed up with the way that he's handling the legislature, pushing the Green New Deal, et cetera. It's a crime, not happy with the way he's handled crime, not happy with the way that he's handled power, because they're having those rolling gray outs and brown outs over there, where they're losing, 104 degrees in the middle of the day, and suddenly your power is shut off and you just have to sit there and swelter. He's not doing a good job of handling that. They needed just shy of 1.5 million signatures. They got 1.7 million. And of course, anytime you do this, they all have to be verified. Somebody has to go through all 1.7 million signatures and make sure they're real people. And there's always people who are always, going to sign their names like Dick Hertz, Chuck Wagon, Eileen Dover, these stupid, silly Michael Hunt, whatever. They're going to throw these names on there that are not true. And so usually there's some that are thrown out, and sometimes it's enough to actually make the petition null and void. I will tell you how many of those names got tossed out. Plus, we will go after Joe Biden's gun speech yesterday. We'll do that a little bit later, probably after we talk to Michael Weber, which is coming up shortly. Love Lady Electrical Contractor, 603-3692. The guys that I trust to handle my electrical work, you should trust them too. They're on Facebook, facebook.com/Love Lady Electrical. They have so many five-star reviews online because they do exactly what I say they're going to do. Show up on time. Give you a great estimate. Follow through, do the work correctly, stick to that estimate, and leave your house or your business in better shape and in better condition than when they found it. Oh, I love these guys. They're the only ones I'll allow to work on Casa de Dixon. So why wouldn't you call them? Why wouldn't you? Less expensive, on time, do it right. That's what I'm talking about. Love Lady Electrical Contractors. No job too large, no job too small. 603-3692. Quick break now. We'll be back in a flash with Michael Weber. Stick around. So what? So let's dance! Little Caddyshack music there, Journey, popping up. 1218, Talk995, Talk995.com, Sentinel Firearms, SentinelFirearms.us, the place to go to do some shooting if this is what you are interested in, and you should be. Shooting, learning to shoot, making sure that you are, shooting properly and hitting what you're aiming at, all of these things can be done at Sentinel Firearms, and they can even give you a pointer or two, or you can take a class there about how better to improve your aim. No matter how good you are, you can always get a little bit better, right? And those classes are taught by the same guys that are teaching police and security guards, so that's a really big deal. They have gunsmithing, so if you are having a problem with your firearm, you want something added on, you want something taken off, you want to change those grips out, they can do it all, put on those cool laser sights. They sell the laser sights, the little laser pointing thing. They got that. Yeah, that and so much more. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us, 592-3004, 906 North of 40th Street, a proud sponsor of...
The big, stupid question of the day.
And here 'tis, outside of the Beatles, who is the most influential band of all time? I would add that you should be able to name some people who were influenced by your selection, okay? So when I say outside of the Beatles, who is the most influential band of all time, you should be able to name some of the people that were influenced by said band, which keeps you from calling in and just going, I like these guys. Okay, liking them and them being influential, two different things. I would say, for instance, Journey didn't influence many people at all. Journey shows a lot of influence, but I would not call them an influential band. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying that they're not really an influential band. Okay, so there you have it. As promised, Michael Weber, Weber Mortgage, webermortgage.com, 1B270-5550. Just back. Whirlwind traveler, Michael, are you experiencing jet lag yet?
I was actually just thinking I had a little bit of a, I don't know if it's like a sinus headache or what, but I was wondering if, I wonder if this is just from, you know, a little normalcy. So anyhow, yeah.
So tell me about the first trip. You went out west, and I'm sure you had a reason for doing that. You weren't running from the law, I bet, but you went west. And you got to see a lot of the country that, you know, people in Alabama, I don't know why, we don't think about going west. Where did you go and what did you see?
Okay, first, my answer to the big stupid question of the day would be Zeppelin. And I can't give you the band's specifics that were influenced by them. But I do know for me and rock and, you know, and having grown up as a child of the 80s and 90s, and even though I was born in the early 70s, just Zeppelin had so many people. You could probably name a ton of people that were influenced by Zeppelin.
Yeah, every band that ever got heavy. I mean, they took heavy to a whole new level, you know, which
right.
was awesome.
Exactly.
Absolutely yep. awesome. All right.
So for the West trip, I have a nephew who lives in Pennsylvania and wanted to have a destination wedding and wanted to get married in Wyoming, and he chose Grand Teton, which is just south of Yellowstone.
Fantastic.
So we were going out there. He found an Airbnb / VRBO ranch that had like a big house and four or five small cabins. And we were going out there for the wedding. And for a decade, I've been wanting to get an RV. And I just happened to find the right deal about a month before the wedding. And so I asked my beautiful bride, I said, hey, how about we extend this trip and go out west and go sightseeing? And she said, if you think the first trip I'm taking in this new RV is going to be for 11 days and 4,000 miles with you, you have lost your bloody mind. So I went with my daughter, and we had a great time. We went up through South Dakota, saw Mount Rushmore, went over, spent 4 days running around Yellowstone, down into Grand Teton, and then eventually to Jackson, where my nephew got married.
Some breathtaking scenery there. I've been in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Tell me this. Was that the first time you've been to Mount Rushmore?
I think I was there as a kid, and it's one of those things where I have a terrible memory, which is why I can rarely answer your big stupid trivia question, because I just don't remember details about things. But I think I have memories of pictures of
sure.
memories, if that makes sense. So I've been there, and I remembered being there, but I probably didn't remember it because I was very young, probably younger than 10.
One of the things that always surprises me when people see, because I've been there dozens of times, having lived in Minneapolis, that was a nice little weekend trip. My parents took a lot. People always come back, and they go, I thought it would be bigger. Did you think it would be bigger?
I read a lot of that online, and no, like I thought that's a very unfair criticism that people, I don't know what they're expecting. Are they expecting like the Richie Rich monument where you get to crawl in the nose?
Yes.
I mean,
I think that's what
how big do you need a sculpture on the side of a mountain?
A great point. Okay, so and what was your favorite part? Because I've been through the Grand Tetons. It's an astounding. The visual scenery is just breathtaking.
Yes, my favorite. So, because we were in the RV and we covered so many miles in such a short period of time, we did a ton of driving, and it was like sightseeing from a recliner at a in front of an IMAX.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because you have this giant windshield. The drive from Cody, Wyoming, over the mountains and down to the east entrance of Yellowstone is probably the most gorgeous drive I've ever been on.
It's amazing stuff. 270-5550 to get in touch with Weber Mortgage, 1B, webermortgage.com. You can find out more about Michael's trip. Call and ask him about it, and he'll be happy to sit down and tell you about it. Oh, yeah, and refinance your mortgage or get a new one. Either one is fine. NMLS number 219938. Michael, we'll have to continue this conversation maybe tomorrow.
Love to do it, brother.
All right, take care, man. This was unlike anything on the radio when it came out. It was the syncopation, the ever-changing chord progression that it is not what is expected. It really took me by surprise when this song came out, and I liked it immediately. And I had no idea that Rick Springfield was on a soap opera. I did not know. At the time, he was best known as Dr. Rick something or other on General Hospital. Was it Rick? I don't remember. Anyway, and I heard that song, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it was almost immediately dismissed as being lightweight rock because, you know, it's this soap opera guy. But he then came out with several other great hits that I absolutely adored. And I wish Springfield had had a little bit more of a music career and less of a TV career. But hey, what are you going to do? Anthony and Company Jewelers bringing you portions of today's show. If you're interested in a piece of jewelry, I would highly recommend a visit to Anthony and Company Jewelers or online, anthonycojewelers.com. That is a world-class award-winning website that really does a great job of spelling out exactly who they are and what they do. Guaranteed lowest prices, huge selection, and the nicest people you could ever hope to run across. This is why they have so many five-star reviews online, because they truck in satisfaction. If you're looking for an engagement ring, now is the time to pop the question, you will not find a better selection at better prices than Anthony and Company Jewelers. It's the whole reason they don't have sales. They can't afford to. Those prices are already as low as they're going to go. So find them at 2080 Valleydale Road next to Ragtime Cafe. 987-2224 on the telephone, anthonycojewelers.com on the World Wide Web. JT is in Jasper with thoughts on Rick Springfield. What's up, JT?
Hey, man, two things real quick. That intro is actually played by Neil Giraldo.
Oh, really? The same guy? That's Pat Benatar's husband, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently they're big buddies. I saw an interview with both of them the other day, and they were talking about how they go out to breakfast. And I said these two, you know, 60-year-old former rockers at the Beanies or something, wherever. You know,
and Neil Giraldo's not a former rocker. He's still touring with Pat Benatar, and he's her opening act. So, yeah.
Oh, and he's amazing. I mean, some of the stuff you can see in her or listen, you know, her songs have got some hard rocket licks in
it. No question.
And it's him.
No question.
But he does a Springfield does a thing on Sirius Radio, Working Class DJ, and he'll do he'll play theme songs like Cinco de Mayo. He did songs with some South American flavor to it. But he actually, to hear him talk now, he sounds like an old dude. I mean, he just doesn't sound good at all. But he learned Jesse's Girl in Spanish and sang it that night on the radio, and his voice. Singing voice is still fantastic, man.
So he's become
talking sounds like Ozzy. 70-year-old guy talking about Teddy O'Quinn.
This is 80s on 8, right? That's where he.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think I've heard it. Yeah, I think I've heard it. I always like the interesting. That's the stuff that really fascinates me on Sirius or any satellite radio is when they have specialty programming like that. Regular, just playing music. I can get that on my iPod all day, man.
Well, it's like any song, like the new Foo Fighters record, the guy was trying to, he said, Grohl said he was trying to, I really wasn't that impressed with it until I found out it was trying to have a Dave Bowie influence to it. And some of the songs, especially Medicine After Midnight, you can really feel a little bit of a Bowie vibe in it. So it to me, it makes me enjoy the music better if I understand the reasoning behind it, what the thoughts were in the writing.
I totally agree. Thank you for the call, JT. I appreciate it. By the way, David Bowie, a perfect example of one of the more influential bands and or artists, going back to the big stupid question of the day.
See, I'm one of my favorite documentaries is Metal, A Headbanger's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down the family tree of metal and how basically Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin were the forefathers.
Sure.
And it just goes through all the different branches of metal, from like grindcore to hair metal to power metal. And it's just, it's a fascinating thing. And it's basically a hybrid of those two bands, Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, that led to the metal movement.
You know, there's a great scene in School of Rock where Jack Black does exactly that. And he's got this thing on the whiteboard that if you get the chance, if you can pause it at that point and look at it, everything that's on that board is actually pretty accurate in terms of who inspired who and what was the offshoot of this to that and why did these people come around and what led to this and that. I always say that there's always a precursor. You know, people, a lot of people on this answer on social media are saying the Rolling Stones, big influential band. Well, then I would say point to Muddy Waters, because Muddy Waters was the biggest influence on the Stones. Okay, now that's a hugely influential guy. He influenced the influencers, all right? There's always something. I mean, you could even say, like you say, the hair metal or the glam metal that I speak of that I really don't like, the Poison, the Motley Crue, Rat.
You're naming all my favorites from the Beatles.
Cinderella. Oh, God. I don't hate them all, to be honest with you, and there are, some of them have some very good songs. But that was what led to Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. You know, they were like, we need to get out of the spandex. We're going to take the stage like we just got out of bed. We're going to be wearing ripped jeans and flannel, and we're going to go out and we're just going to play. And that led to the sort of the grunge rock sound of the late 80s, early 90s. Really, the 90s is what is thought of. So you could say that Poison influenced Nirvana. Nirvana then went on to influence a whole slew of people, as, by the way, did REM. I mean, there's a bunch of great groups out there. I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder. 545-9950, if you want to get involved in this. Outside of the Beatles, who's the most influential band of all time? And you notice I don't say rock band. Outside of the Beatles, who's the most influential band of all time? 1237. Okay, so Joe Biden makes this speech yesterday, and I we okay in there, David? Did we drop something?
I forgot to turn off the bumper when I was potting up to play the Biden clip.
I understand. So Joe Biden gives a speech yesterday, and the reason I said that if it were to happen during my show, I wasn't going to carry it is exactly what happened. He got lost on the teleprompter. He began just sort of rambling. It's very hard to watch. It's hard to listen to as well. But as I expected and as I warned you yesterday, he decided to conflate crime with guns. And maybe worse than that, he decided to conflate crime with legal gun dealers, all right? Which is 1,000% asinine. Throughout the course of the speech, he talked about if you are a legal gun dealer and you don't do a background check or you sell to somebody who's not supposed to have a gun, we're going to come after you. First offense, you lose your license, blah, blah, blah. As if this is a big problem. He talked about, ARs with clips that hold 50 and 100 rounds. First off, there ain't a lot of those out there. But secondly, that's not what most of this crime and these murders are being committed with, not by a long shot. The vast majority of this is taking place with Saturday Night Special handguns, and they're not purchased illegally from legal gun dealers, all right? They're not purchased legally from legal gun dealers either. This is a deliberate misrepresentation of what is going on, which I shouldn't be surprised, because that's what liberals truck in. In the same way, in an effort to push CRT, critical race theory, they say, well, if we don't push this, if we don't teach this, then I guess the answer is we don't talk about how hard African Americans have had it in this country, and we don't talk about slavery, and we don't talk about the civil rights movement. No, it's not a choice between either critical race theory or pretending none of those things happened. I'm 57. I was taught all of those things. I was taught about slavery. I was taught about the civil rights. I was talking about how difficult it has been for African Americans in this country throughout the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s, and how much easier things have gotten now as a result of so many of the rules, regulations, laws, and judicial rulings that have come down. So it's not a, you know, they love to build a straw man argument. The crime surge across this nation, we talked about this yesterday, Murders are sky high in Atlanta, sky high in Chicago, sky high in Detroit, sky high in Minneapolis. They're sky high in Portland. They're sky high in Seattle. Okay? They're crazy off the charts in L.A. And this is significantly higher than was the rate of murder in 2019, before the pandemic. Okay? And instead of wanting to focus on that and what it's going to take to bring that down, Joe Biden says, well, the problem here is these legal gun dealers selling these guns illegally, and we have to get that stopped. So in other words, he's trying to make it all about gun control once again. Well, let me point a couple of things out, as did the judge in the California assault weapons ban earlier. There are more people killed in this country every year with knives than there are with rifles. And it's not even close. It's like three times as many. And about five times as many are killed with blunt objects, such as hands or feet or hammers or clubs, than are killed with rifles. And yet this is where Joe Biden wants, this is the hill he wants to die on. This is what he's going to suggest is the answer. And then he comes out with this gem. I'm going to play it now, and then we'll probably play it again on the other side of the break, because it's sort of difficult to parse it out and decipher it, because he is just rambling and he loses his teleprompter place. And as expected, he took no questions. So here it is, Joe Biden talking about why the Second Amendment doesn't involve you owning guns that could help you fight the government. Listen to this.
Enough rogue gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
Wow. Did he just threaten to nuke anybody who tried to rise up against the government if we become dissatisfied with them? Is that what he just did? Did I hear that properly? We need F-15s? It's been a big upsurge in F-15 purchases since yesterday, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of people are out there. It's 12:42. Got to take a break. We'll play that again coming back in a moment, and I will tell you just how far off the mark it is and why it is such an absurdly, patently absurd statement. Stick around. You want to talk about influential? These guys changed the sound of music forever. Forever. Opened the door to whole new, different sounds, ideas that no one had ever considered before. I'm here to tell you that Thomas Dolby, Blinded Me with Science, would not exist were it not for the Cars, okay? Amazing stuff. Absolutely amazing stuff. 1247, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com. Also amazing, the deals you'll find at Work Trucks, downtown at 2324 3rd Avenue South. When you are in the market for a new vehicle, a new-to-you vehicle, for your business, Work Trucks is the place to go, because they've already scoured the country, already found the best of the best, brought it here, put it through a 120-point inspection, and then put it on the lot at a great low price. Every shape, size, kind, make, model, style, you can trade, you can finance, get an extended warranty, whatever it is you're after, there's a reason why they're the Southeast's number one pre-owned work truck dealer, and that reason is they're very good at what they do. Work Trucks. With an X, LLC.com. Downtown, 2324 3rd Avenue South, where they are all about trucks. All right, let's listen to this Biden clip one more time, and then I'll explain just how all wet the old sleepy, confused Joe truly is.
Enough rogue gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
Okay, first off, the correct quote is that the Tree of Liberty has to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, okay? Secondly, let me ask you this. When the Clive and Bundy standoff took place, and I want to say that was in Wyoming, not far from where Michael Weber just was, what kind of firearms were held by the people who were holding the government at bay from coming and taking Clive and Bundy's cows away? What were they? Did they have F-15s? Did they have nuclear weapons? They didn't, did they? No, they did not. What would you think is the number one firearm and weapon overall used right now by those who are attempting to rise up against the Syrian government in a Syrian civil war? Any idea what that might be? I mean, Syria's got a lot of stuff. They've got bombs. Syria's got planes. Syria's got tanks. Number one weapon being used right now by those who are rising up in Syria is, in fact, rifles. Probably Kalashnikovs, but AK-47s, things of that nature, okay? Why? Because when it comes to these sorts of things, it's always house to house. It's always person to person. The federal government is not going to come in and use F-15s to wipe a bunch of people out who are trying to assert their rights under the Constitution. They're not going to do it. Why? Because shades of Nazism, shades of Stalin and communism, shades of Mao and Chinese communism, the idea that the government is going to come in and nuke you if you try to rise up against them is ridiculous. Because a nuclear device, a nuclear weapon, is a dumb weapon. It just kills everything in its path. It can't pick and choose. So you'd be wiping out both people who are trying to rise up against you and people who might be on your side. Innocent people who have no skin in this game, right? That's why you can't use that. Same reason you can't use an F-15. You can't show up and just start indiscriminately bombing or, you know, blasting away at people on the ground with the because you don't have any. Well, I'll put it this way. We went into Iraq. So much of what took place in Fallujah was done with what? Human beings on the ground and M4s. That's what they had to go to war with. Why? Because not everybody in Fallujah was a bad guy. Many of them were good guys. And that's the way this fighting would take place if it were to take place. And God forbid it ever should. But the idea that you have to have an F-15 or you have to have a nuclear bomb to try to take on the federal, even a rocket launcher, is insane and ridiculous and simply not true. And by the way, if you did have a group large enough that wanted to stand up against the federal government, it would probably be, I don't know, a state militia, a National Guard, a group of people. We'd be using their weapons to go up against the federal government should we choose to do so. Again, God forbid we should ever get to that point. Please don't let it happen. But that's absurd. It's ridiculous. In the same way, his assertion that we need to stop these rogue gun dealers who are selling, you know, they're legal gun dealers who are illegally selling weapons to people. It's the same thing as suggesting that the opioid problem in America is caused by pharmacies that are under the table selling pills to people. That's not how these addicts are getting their pills. They're getting them on the black market, and they are getting them through legal prescriptions, maybe handed out illegally by doctors. You want to go after the doctors for handing out the prescriptions incorrectly? Knock yourself out. But the opioid problem in this country is not being caused by people who are at pharmacies illegally selling drugs to people who don't have prescriptions. That's not the main reason for it. But that's exactly what Biden is trying to claim. Steve is in Huntsville with thoughts on the subject. Talk to me, Steve-O. What's up?
Yes, sir, Richard. I want to know how the Republicans in their cities are so efficient at controlling the population as to where they don't have all these crimes being committed.
It's a really crazy concept. When somebody commits a crime, we actually hold them responsible, okay? Rather than turning around and saying, well, that's all right, we're going to get a slap on the wrist, we're going to cut you a deal, we're going to put you back on the street again. In Republican cities, I don't know, Houston, which is about the same size as Chicago and has less than one-third the murder rate, they actually hold the people who commit the crime responsible. They don't allow random gunfire, random shooting. They pick up a felon who's in possession of a firearm. He gets 5 years in prison because that's a federal crime. I mean, you actually have to hold the people who are doing the crime responsible for doing the crime and not just turn around and put them back on the street, which seems to be the problem in Chicago, Atlanta, Birmingham. All right, I'm out of here. Got to go. It is First News time once again. Your calls are welcome. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Mr. P's grilling tip coming your way next hour, too.